Good morning and welcome to this YouTube premiere for Point Lookout Community Church. Thank you for joining us today. This morning we're going to look at some verses from Ezekiel 22, but before we do, I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to give you an update on where the PLCC stands with respect to the current pandemic and our plans to work towards resuming our regular services. I'm hoping that many of you read the email that Kevin Hennigan sent out the other day, and I just wanted to reiterate that communication from the PLCC elders this morning. We wanted to let you know that the elders met with the church council this past Tuesday to talk about the status of the community church and to make plans as we begin to move forward at this point. We're all glad to at least have some plans to move forward and that we're not just stuck in the same place right now. Under the current circumstances, the elders don't believe that we're ready just yet to resume any meetings or services at the PLCC. Yes, we're aware of all the indicators, the news reports, the executive orders, the advice, the directives from civic authorities, local, state, and federal, and we believe that more patience is needed. And we know this is disappointing to people and even upsetting to some people, and it's upsetting to us. None of us expected to be in this position in May of 2020, but the current situation is this, and we're going to trust God with it just like we do with everything else. It's like we said last Sunday when Jesus calmed that storm for his disciples on the lake. He didn't remove them from the boat. He didn't insulate them from facing the storm. Instead, he was with them in the middle of the storm, just as he's with us today. So we don't give in to despair. We don't give in to frustration or pressure from the outside or pressure from news reports. We don't become whiners and complainers. We don't become rabble-rousers or zealots. Instead, we rest in the Lord. And we trust that God is with us in this storm and that he can comfort us even though the boat may be rocking. That's what we read last Sunday from Psalm 29. He will bless his people with peace. Not with ease, not with just smooth sailing, but with peace in the middle of the storm. And that same chapter says the Lord will give strength to his people. Strength and peace are the distinguishing characteristics of the people of God. And since we aren't ready to meet this week or possibly for a few more, we wanted to speak just for a minute to the criteria that we'll use as a sort of barometer for the return to services. First of all, let me say that we aren't simply following guidelines from civic authorities. And so what do we mean by that? Well, certainly we aren't ignoring them. We just know that they aren't the only test or the only threshold or the only indicator that we should have as believers. If civic authorities were our only behavioral guide, then at one point in our nation's history, we could have participated in the injustice of slavery if civic authorities were our guide. If civic authorities only were our guide, we could participate in the murder of unborn children to this day. No, we don't use civic authorities as our barometers for our behavior if we're believers. We do serve a higher authority. We do have to answer to God and not to man. And that's a scary proposition, my friends. God's call is higher and more demanding than any civil authority could ever be. The higher law of love demands that we actually lay down our rights. God's law of love actually dictates that we walk in humility rather than demanding any rights to which we believe we're entitled. And we don't do this from a position of weakness or fear, but from a position of strength, like Psalm 29 tells us that God gives his people. So while we're certainly mindful of civic guidelines, we're doing our best to follow scriptural guidelines and paying attention and gleaning from the civic authorities and other sources. So while we don't think it's prudent and best practice to gather at the church building at this point, we do think it would be prudent and reasonable to resume services at such time as we're able to safely accommodate a larger number of people, probably in the neighborhood of about 35 people. So in the days ahead, the elders will weigh our mandate as believers and the preponderance of evidence from other sources, and when it seems prudent to proceed with services for at least that many people, we'll enact the protocols and the procedures to do so. In the meantime, at the direction of the PLCC elders, the church council is currently working on those protocols to assure that the church facility is safe and sanitary for any and all members and visitors. And they're also working to ensure that the PLCC campus will have a sustainable plan for ongoing best practice once services have resumed. So this probably isn't a great time to inundate the church council with questions and concerns while they're working out the details. Ralph and Linda and Ryan will be meeting on their own apart from the elders to come up with these procedures, and then we'll get back with the elders to see where we go from there. We should probably just be patient with them, let them serve in this capacity as council members. All of us selected them and gave them our vote of confidence, so we should give them the space to do what they need to do. They have jobs and families and extra burdens, kids and grandkids, so let's just be mindful of them and considerate during this time. But until the time we're able to resume services, patience and love will win the day. Not boldness or brashness or even faith. That's right, because you can have all the faith in the world and have it count for nothing, God tells us. Faith is good. Faith is needed. It's necessary. Love is the more excellent way, the scripture says. Jesus said the world will know his disciples by the love that they have, not by how quickly they resumed services during a pandemic. And just because another congregation did it this way or that way, or just because a news report says you're free to do this or free to do that, that's great. That doesn't mean that just because we're free to do so, that we should do so immediately. What I'm trying to say is that the PLCC elders will plan to resume services when we believe we should do so, in adherence to scriptural directives, praying that we're responding in humility and not in pride, as we endeavor to answer God's call, not man's, not the people's, not the CDC. We have to answer to God ultimately, and he's not going to say, well done, you returned to 60 Freeport Avenue soon enough. He's either going to tell us that we responded to him and the people around us with sacrificial love, or we didn't. Which are we going to do? The God of heaven isn't enamored with how quickly we assert our rights as Americans. So as elders and even as a church council, we collectively are trying to be more concerned about walking in love than we are about asserting our rights. And by the way, my rights and your rights were all waived the moment that we said, I'm going to follow Christ. I waive my rights, and we choose to submit to him and to walk in humility. And he's going to require of us to love him and to love one another. And you know, the first distinctive of love is patience. And that's what we're encouraging here and advocating for, a posture of patience. We're going to have to be long-suffering with one another, with this process, and with a return to something that will hopefully and prayerfully resemble normalcy in the best sense of the word. I alluded to it before and it bears repeating. Some of you know this and some of you may not. Some of you may have forgotten, but please hear me on this. I'm not over here simply making decisions on my own. Nothing as that we're doing as a congregation is being decided unilaterally by me or any one person. By God's grace, we are pastor, elders, church council, and congregation. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. We're one body, the body of Christ. So any policy that I'm articulating here is only being done so in conjunction with the elders. And just as the email that Kevin sent out the other day, he was writing on behalf of the ministry team. So yes, I serve in the role as pastor by God's grace. And by his grace, I'll do anything that's required of me. I'll take blame. I'll take questions. I'll do my best with it all. I'll preach the word. I'll make video announcements. I'll shovel dog poop. Yes, Got to shovel some dog poop a few times this week when people are bringing their dogs to the church yard. I don't know. Maybe it's the pandemic, but there's an elevation of all kinds of excrement and things going on. So I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do, but make no mistake, we're in this together. And we're navigating this crisis together, just as we did through 9/11, just as we did through Sandy, just as we did through Pastor Greg's health issues. I'm reminded of David when he was facing Goliath. He said, "The Lord who rescued me from the lion, the Lord who rescued me from the bear, will rescue me from this giant." The Lord, who's brought us through terrorist attacks, who's brought us through hurricanes, who's brought us through financial downturns and all kinds of crises, the Lord will bring us through this crisis. And we each have a part to play in this. I do, the elders do, the church council does, and you do. And God gets the final say. We're asking, we're trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us all during this time. So we're glad to communicate, and we will, and that's what I'm trying to do right now before jumping into this morning's message. That's why Kevin sent out the email the other day, because we want to communicate well. And part of that communication is that things like love and patience are needed right now, much more than grandstanding or assertiveness or demanding any rights. My prayer is that love, patience, prudence, and godliness will win the day, not impatience or impertinence. Please know this. While we aren't ready to open the church facility up or have in-person life group meetings, we would never try to dictate to anyone what they choose to do in their own home as far as getting together with others. That's your choice to make, and you bear the responsibility for that. And if you do that, we just encourage you to have love as the goal and to be guided by wisdom as you do. But it's up to you if you have the space and make the choice to do it in your own homes. Listen, we know it's a unique season in life and in all of history right now. Some folks have more work to do at this point and more burdens to carry right now. Other people may be out of work or have extra time or fewer burdens and less to do. If that's you, then reach out in love to the people who are burdened, and let's see how God can glorify His Son in our lives and in our congregation as we seek Him and reach out to the people around us. Amen? That's my prayer. And as usual, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call or text or to post questions here on this premiere. I give you my word that I'll do my best to answer any and every question. So we hope that this helps to at least provide some clarity as we all continue to wait on the Lord in this season. And in just the few minutes that we have left, I want us to consider for a moment the word of the Lord to the prophet Ezekiel. I was reading Ezekiel 22 this week in particular, and I'm going to encourage you to read that chapter today if you're willing and able to do it. Because this chapter chronicles the nation of Israel, and more specifically, the people of God. God Himself speaks to Ezekiel and recounts the actions and the disposition of His people, what they've been up to and what their society has become. And I have to tell you, as I read it this week, I know it wasn't written to the United States of America, but as I read it, I was confronted with this reality. It absolutely parallels our society. It bears striking resemblance to our nation in both its description of and the practices associated with our nation. Throughout the verses, the Lord uses the word blood time and time again. The shedding of innocent blood and the guilt associated with it. The Lord even refers to them as the bloody city. How does that compare with us? A society in which millions upon millions of unborn children have been absolutely slaughtered year after year after year just for the sake of convenience? Or how does it compare with a society in which people are sadly killed in the streets? And it's too sickening to wish it away or pretend it didn't happen. Verse 3 tells how their society has defiled itself with idols. Verse 7 says they've treated mothers and fathers lightly or with contempt. It sounds like he's describing our society. There's so much contempt for mothers and fathers in our day. Verse 8 says, you've despised holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. Verse 12, you've taken bribes and taken usurious profits, scamming people, cheating people, and the list goes on and on. You've wronged the widow and the fatherless. You have forgotten me. And then verse 13 says, behold then, I smite my hand at your dishonest gain which you've acquired and at the bloodshed which is among you. Can your heart endure or your hands be strong in the day that I will deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. The word of the Lord. God says, I've had enough. Enough of your bloodshed, enough of your idolatry and your disregard. And in this account, we observe that God isn't just calling out society. He's actually calling out the religious practitioners. And I don't mean this in a bad or demeaning light. In fact, he's essentially calling out the church, as it were, the people of God, people like you and me. Do we really believe that God has changed? Do we really believe that the holy and righteous creator of the universe is any different today? We know that God's provided atonement. We know that there's forgiveness in Christ. But do we really think that the bloodshed and the idolatry and the disregard for God Almighty, not just in our society, but in your life and mine, do we really think it can simply continue unchecked? We know that God's mercies are new every morning. We know that his love never fails. This is an and not a but. God's mercies are everlasting, and yet the guilty do not go unpunished. This is what he told Moses that his name is. The Lord, gracious and compassionate, and yet the guilty don't go unpunished. I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. But we see in this chapter, in this historic account of God granting anyone who will hear, anyone with ears to hear, he's granting us insight into himself here, insight into his character, his approach, his will, his way. And what do we see? Verse 29 says, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they've wronged the poor and the needy, and they've oppressed the sojourner without justice. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Thus I've poured out my indignation on them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. What do we see? What insight do we learn from the character of God and the people of God who've gone before us here? We see that God is looking. I searched, says the Lord. I searched for a man among them, somebody different, somebody who didn't just act in the same way, somebody who had different priorities, someone who was willing to hear, someone who was willing to follow, someone who was willing to build up the wall, someone who was willing to stand in the gap before me for the land. And I found no one. Therefore, their way I have brought upon their heads. God was looking in the day of our forefathers, looking for someone, and he found none. He allowed the people to experience their own way, their way, he said. Be careful when you seek your own way, because God just might give it to you. As in their day, I believe in our day, God is searching. What will he find? God was looking for a Phinehas. You remember him from Numbers 25? Read that chapter if you don't. Phinehas stood up in his day and stopped the plague, the Bible says. God was looking for someone like Moses, who stood up in his day, stood in the gap on behalf of God's people and the impending consequences of their hard hearts. Looking for an Esther who stood up in her day and stopped a genocide that was planned. As Jesus, the ultimate one who stood in the ultimate gap in his day, his own life and his own blood, in some sense, crying out to the Father on our behalf, the people who were otherwise doomed to die. As Paul stood up in his day, who's willing to stand up in ours? Who will get on their knees and cry out to the God of heaven for mercy on us, our nation, and ourselves? You want to see the church open up? Somebody's got to stand in the gap. You want to see people unified instead of divided? Stand in the gap. You want to see the PLCC continue to exist as a congregation and a church? Then we better stand in the gap. You want to see safety in the streets instead of bloodshed and rioting or police brutality? I do. So I've got to stand in the gap on behalf of the land, and so do you. And you know, it's easy to see in other people. It's so easy to see elsewhere, but so elusive to see it in ourselves. We're so quick to call out injustice everywhere, but in our own lives. Why don't we be sure to start right here, to start with our own repentance instead of somebody else's? Instead of demanding other people repent, how about I'll repent? How about I'll stand in the gap on behalf of those who have not yet found repentance? I've got to build up instead of tearing down. You know, in the Old Testament context, societal change came about when someone was willing to kill for the sake of righteousness. That's what Phinehas did. But in the New Testament context, societal change came about when one man was willing to die for the sake of righteousness. As difficult as that sounds, I'm going to recommend the New Testament approach for us. We can't resort to an old way and try to assert or kill our way into righteousness. We have to resort to the new way of laying down our rights, laying down our lives on the way to righteousness. Pandemic, economic turmoil, food shortages, racism, riots. What are you prepared to do about it? I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, but I found no one. In their own way, I've brought upon their own heads, declares the Lord. I don't want our own way to keep coming down on our own heads. And so I lay this challenge before each one of us today in the middle of pandemic and riots and bloodshed. The Lord is searching. What will he find? Will he find someone standing in and building up, or will he simply allow us to have our own way come crashing down on our own heads? What are you going to do about it? I pray he finds you and me standing in the gap, interceding on behalf of our own lives and ourselves and our own sin, on behalf of our families, on behalf of our church, on behalf of our nation. God is searching today. What will he find?